have been called to lead. You have been called to bring value and structure, take responsibility, step up to the plate, and not back away from the responsibility that God has called you to.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, the senior pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, there's all kinds of people listening today, and some of them may be people with a call of God on their life, people who have a passion and a burden for reaching people and building the Church of Jesus. What would you say to somebody like that?
Well, so excited that people that have a call of God on their life are listening. And I want to say that here at New Life, we're actually ringing the bell. And someone might be listening tonight to this program specifically. And we have a passion to see churches planted, congregations planted all around the Chicagoland area. And so if there's someone listening tonight that you believe that God has called you to church planting, that you may have a call of God on your life, and you are saying, that's part of my passion, that's my dream, maybe you're already starting a church or you're interested in doing that, we have a church planting residency program specifically to prepare people to plant churches. And this is an incredible program. We just started it this year. We have several people that are being mentored by seasoned pastors, training them for the purposes of planting churches, specifically in Chicagoland area, but ultimately really all around the world. And Joshua, you have some information that they can look up.
Yeah, you could very easily find out more about what we're doing in church planting by going to our website, newlifechicago.org. And when you get there, go to the ministries button. And when you click on ministries, you're going to get a couple of options. And one of those is something called New Life Cities, planting churches in urban centers. And there's a link there to download our application and to get in touch with us and learn more about what we're doing in the city here and what we're praying to be doing in urban centers around the world. And so I'd send you there, newlifechicago.org, click on the ministries button, and then look under New Life Cities. We're praying that God would bring the right connections, and who knows, maybe you or somebody you know would be connected with what we're doing together. Just so excited to be a part of this, and we're praying for the good of our city here.
Thanks, Joshua. Let's jump right in tonight with the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Renewing Marriage. Our text will continue to be from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 18 and 19. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
We have a culture of passivity among men, and oftentimes a culture of women who are distrustful, who have been hurt by authority, and so oftentimes they're aggressive. So we have men that are passive, women that are aggressive, and oftentimes the household is up for grabs because there's not a unity in the household as to what are the rules of this household, the values of this household, and many homes are chaotic. In fact, I believe that one of the great tragedies of Adam and Eve was the passivity of Adam. God put Adam and Eve in a garden, and there was this beautiful place to live, to prosper, to conquer. And when Eve was tempted by the serpent to eat of the forbidden fruit, the great tragedy is not that Eve was tempted. The great tragedy is that Adam was passive. Because when she brought the fruit to Adam, instead of Adam saying, "No, you know that our Creator has asked us not to eat of that fruit. No, I'm going to guard you and protect you and our household and our family." Instead, he was passive in his leadership. And he took of the fruit, and we've all struggled with the what theologians call the fall of man and the sin nature since the fall of Adam and Eve. We have men in our society. You have been called, created, engineered, designed by your Creator to step up to the plate and lead in a godly way. But oftentimes men have become passive. It's the men that sitting on the rocker chair, disengaged with this family, unaware of what's going on, not creating a culture, not holding responsibility, not determining the direction of this household, but just letting life happen, letting their kids kind of do whatever happens. No discipline, no structure, no order, no direction to the household. Passive, oftentimes having children and not taking responsibility, not getting married, not being involved with the children that they have, wanting to play as adult men, but not wanting to settle down and take responsibility for the household. It's the tragedy of men that are passive. And I believe in Christ, listen to me, men, that may be who you were, but that is not who God has called you to be. You've been called to lead. You have been called to bring value and structure, take responsibility, step up to the plate, and not back away from the responsibility that God has called you to. As the kind of men that we're seeking to raise in this church, men that step up to the plate of leadership and do not shy away from the responsibility of leading. And so he says, as it's fitting in the Lord, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. And I want to say this, by the way, to you wives about what it means to support and back your husband in leadership. The Bible speaks to women directly, and it says, women, respect your husband. Or in this case, it says, women, submit to your husband's leadership, or come behind or under your husband's leadership. And what it means, it takes a strong woman to support her husband's leadership. A strong woman. This is not advocating for mousiness. This is not some sniveling woman that has no identity and no opinions and who's weak and timid and needs a man to survive, saying, okay, whatever you say, hubby. No, that's not what it's advocating for. It's advocating for a strong, value-driven woman of identity that understands who she is and understands her value. And because she's strong and not driven by fear, she has the ability to support the leadership of her husband and to breathe and inspire confidence in his ability to lead the household. Women, you may not understand the power that you have to influence your husband. God has given you an incredible ability to speak confidence into his leadership. There is something compelling about a woman that believes in a man and says, no matter what happens, I want you to know that I'm in your corner and I believe in you. There's something powerful about a man being able to look into his corner and know that there's a woman that believes in him and his leadership and his capacity and his ability, and that says, I will stand beside you. I believe that God has called you to lead. I trust your leadership. I'm standing with you. I'm behind you. You can do that. There's something about that that inspires a man. Something powerful that inspires a man. I have to say that over the years, I personally have experienced this on multiple occasions, so many occasions with my wife, even stepping into the pastorate. I was 21 years old when I started pastoring, and my wife, even before the opportunity to pastor opened, she said, I believe you're going to pastor. I believe you're going to be a pastor. I said, no, I don't know if I'm the pastor kind. I'm not sure I fit the mold. I don't know. You know, I had my own stereotype, what a pastor had to look like, be like, and act like. And I just, I don't think I'll be a good pastor. And she said, no, I know you can. I believe you. I believe you're a godly man. I believe you can lead. And most of the people in the congregation when I started pastor were older than me. And she said, I believe that you can do it. You have a calling of God on your life and you'd be an awesome pastor. I trust your leadership. You don't know. And her speaking into my life gave me a boost of confidence that I needed, because I thought, if my wife believes in me, if she's behind me, maybe I can do this. And over the years, that sense of I'm with you, that sense of confidence, that sense of I'm backing you, I trust you, you can do it, does incredible things to to a man's ability. So I want you to know, but I know some of you, maybe even as I'm speaking, you may say, yeah, Pastor, but what if my husband is not that way? What if my husband isn't a guy that really leads well? What if he's not trustworthy? What if he's not to that place of having a godly character and someone that I really believe in? How can I really come behind someone that is not where he needs to be? And I want to tell you, you know, we're all married to imperfect people. Your husband imperfect, and so are you. But some of you need to start speaking into the destiny of your husband, not as to who he is right now, but who you expect him to be. Some of you need to say, I know you will be this man. I believe God can use you. You're speaking not to who he is, but to who he's growing up to be, who God is transforming him into. You're coming believing that God will bring him into that place that he's called him to be. And I believe that there's four attitudes that can hinder your husband's leadership as you struggle maybe to come under or behind his leadership in the household. Number one is what I would call the qualifying support, where you say, I'll follow him if he. In other words, I would follow his leadership if he, and you qualify, if he were more godly, if he were smarter, if he finished his education, if he got a job that made more money than me, if he, you know, didn't go over to his mother's house every other weekend. I would follow him if, and you qualify it. And I want to say, you know, as long as you keep qualifying it, you'll always have an excuse not to back his leadership. Because there'll always be something that you'll say, you'll find a reason why you really shouldn't back his leadership. And so that's discredit. That keeps you out of the game of supporting his leadership. Number two is grudging support. I'll follow my husband's leadership, but I don't like it. He always makes these bad decisions. And kind of grudgingly following his leadership. Or the third one is the faithless support. Like, okay, I'm going to follow his leadership, but I'm afraid he won't lead us properly. He's going to make wrong decisions. He always does. He's impulsive. He's not going to do this right. So I'm going to follow, but oh, we're going to end up a mess if I do this. So that faithless sort of leadership that comes in. Or the forced support. Like, I feel like I have to follow him. I feel like I'm obligated to. It's not something that I willingly do, but I feel like because I'm a wife, or because I'm a Christian, I have to do this. I feel like I'm in this forced area of supporting my husband. All of those four attitudes, what they do is they take away from the power of your husband to lead.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk Radio message called Renewing Marriage, which is part of Pastor Mark's series called In His Image, Renewing Our Relationships. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Renewing Marriage.
They take away from the power of your husband to lead. Let me tell you something, women. There's something freeing and powerful releasing when you come to grips with the fact that your husband is responsible for certain things before God. And you're called to say, okay, God, I'm submitting ultimately to you. And if you've called my husband to lead, I'm going to back him. But ultimately, I'm trusting you, not trusting my husband. Do you understand the difference? Ultimately, I'm trusting you to work through my husband. But my confidence and my faith is not in my husband. My faith is in God who works through my husband. There's a difference there. Now, you may be saying, well, Pastor, you know, I can think of several occasions in which maybe I shouldn't follow his support. And I do want to qualify this. I think there's certain situations in which you would not follow the lead of your husband. And I qualify them, for example, when a husband asks his wife to sin or do something unethical or something contrary to God. Ultimately, your highest authority is God. So if your husband's asking you to do something that is unethical, immoral, or not right before God, then obviously you would say no. Or if your husband is medically incapacitated or insane or under the influence of mind-altering substance, the wife does not have to submit. When I say insane, by the way, I mean medically diagnosed insane. Not your own. Yeah, Pastor, he's crazy. I know it. My mother says he is too. My sister agrees. So this is not your own little self-diagnosis of it. You know how many wives I've had tell me that, I think my husband's really, there's something wrong up there. I've had women tell me that, oh, there's something wrong up there with him. Really, there's something got to be wrong up there. Or obviously, if the husband is violent or physically threatening, there's not, that's not a part of the story of saying, I need to stay in a house that I'm being physically abused or that's abusive. Obviously, there's no condoning of that kind of behavior there. But overall, in normal situations where the husband is leading, you are called as a woman of God to say, I have the natural ability and natural inclination to be able to lead. But as a strong woman of God, full of identity, because I'm following Jesus Christ, I put myself in this position of saying, I'm going to back the leadership of my husband. I'm going to work together with him. And by the way, if this works the way God wants it to work, and he's loving you and listening to you and sensitive to you, this is not going to feel like a dictatorship or an autocratic experience. This is going to feel like a partnership of oneness where two people are flowing in harmony together to accomplish the better and bigger purposes for their household and their calling in life. That's the way it should look like. I believe that the ability to trust God to lead through your husband and to honor his leadership and to support his leadership and to back his leadership and to respect him and bring out the best in him as a leader is your God-given ability and destiny and calling as a woman of God. You have incredible power and incredible influence over your husband. Exercise it. And then the Apostle Paul switches his attention in marriage to the husbands. How many of you wives are saying, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Now it's the husband's turn. To the husbands, it's a very simple, clear, short verse, and it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Some of you are saying, that seems easier. Some of the wives are like, that seems easier than my role. But if we really understand this, it's quite the opposite. The word he uses here when he says, husbands, love your wives, there's three different words that we translate from the Greek into the English as love. Philia, which is where we get the word Philadelphia from, brotherly love. Eros, where we get the word erotic from, and it's about romantic love. It's about sensual, sexual, romantic love. And then agape, or agapeo, which is the highest form of love that someone could embrace. It's unconditional love, the kind of love that God has for us. In this context, in this verse, he's not saying, husbands, be romantically involved with your wife. It's not eros. Husbands, be the friend of your wife. It's not filio. It's husbands, agapeo your wives. In other words, husbands, I want you to love your wives unconditionally. In a powerful way that doesn't depend on how they act or who they are, but you are choosing to love them in a committed, unconditional way. That's agapeo. So husbands, agapeo your wives, and do not be harsh with them, or do not be, literally in the Greek it says, embittered towards them. This word means don't be harsh, rude, impatient, critical, embittering type as you deal with them. In other words, be sensitive as you deal with them. And let me unpack this for you a little bit, because there's a parallel passage found in Ephesians chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul actually describes what it means to actually love our wives. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5, it's talking about husbands, and it says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, to present to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." So husbands, what does it mean to love your wives? Well, it means a couple of things. Number one, it means that you give yourself for her. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, a lot of people get into marriage to have their needs met. And if you're getting into marriage just so that your needs will be met, chances are you're going to struggle in your marriage. Well, I'm getting married because I want a companion. I want to have sex, and as a Christian, I can't have sex unless I'm married. The man's thinking, I want someone to, you know, make a household for me. I want to come home to a nice dinner, a back rub, foot massage. Hey, dude, you shouldn't have got married. Seriously. Like, I want my needs to be met, because what happens is somewhere down the road, if you get in with that mentality, your needs are not going to be met the way you expected them to be met. And if you get into a marriage relationship to have your needs met, the day will come where you're going to look and say, hey, my needs aren't being met the way I wanted them to be met, so I want out of this, because I'm giving more than I'm receiving. And it'll ebb and flow that way in marriage. But agape love says, I love unconditionally, regardless of whether my needs are fully met or not, because I'm committed to this relationship and the call to love this individual. When I was a student in college, the president of the school that I was attending, his wife came down with severe Alzheimer's disease. And it was degenerative and progressive. He was a busy man leading a college, and he was an author and speaker, written multiple books, and a doctor. But he would go home every day and he would take care of a woman who did not even recognize who he was anymore. And if you're familiar with that disease, it's degenerative and it's tough. She no longer knew who he was. He would spoon feed her. He would take care of her. He would bathe her. He would clothe her. Someone interviewed him and said, wow, like, do you resent it? I mean, how, you're a busy guy. You have all this. How could you do this? I mean, have you ever thought of sending her to some institution where someone else could take care of her? And he responded, you know, when I married her, I married her for better or for worse. For sickness or for health. And as long as she's my wife, I'm going to take care of her and I'm going to love her. She loved me for so many years. I'm going to love her back for the years that I have left, no matter how long it takes. She ended up dying. But she died as a woman, maybe that fully did not understand what her husband did for her. But she died as a very loved and well taken care of woman, because she had the love of a husband that was loving her in an agapeo way. That is a love story. So what does that mean? It means that you give of your time, your affection, your attention, your protection. You look out for her interests like Christ looks out for the interests of the church and died on a cross for us. God is calling you as a husband to do the same for your wife, to look out for her best interests, to watch over her in a way that would look be for the best of her and the best of her interests, not just to use her or ask how is she meeting my needs, but actually looking out for her needs.
Well, that concludes part three, Renewing Marriage, which is part of Pastor Mark's series called In His Image, Renewing Our Relationships. We invite you to come back on Monday for part four, Parenting Your Child's Heart. Before you go, here's some information on Straight Talk. Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And if you've enjoyed tonight's message, we invite you to download our Straight Talk app. It's free and can be found at Pastor Mark's website, www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com. And there you can also find out more information about Pastor Mark, the New Life Community Churches, his ministry. There's a Bible app, as well as links to other series that might be helpful for you and your family. Well, that's it for our Straight Talk team tonight. We hope that you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast. We thank you so much for listening. Please do have a great weekend, a safe weekend, and please do join us again on Monday. God bless.